Hey, look who's in studio. Donnell Rawlings, good morning.
Listen to who's in studio.
Listen.
They can't see me.
Donnell has a... there's a camera right there.
Yeah.
Right here. Right. No, look this way.
Right in front of you.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
You just got got.
Gotti. Do you remember that? You remember that?
Just got Gotti.
Did you guys talk to him?
John?
No.
No. The other one?
No.
Who are we talking about?
These nuts. Gotti. See, that's how it originated. I'm sorry. I knew you was wide open. Your face was too vulnerable. But I apologize because I don't want this interview to start off like we don't get along. So
of
that's just
not.
In my community, that's a very, very popular joke. And you know it hits home. It's been going on for years. You know it hits home when people look at you and they say, oh, man, you still doing that joke. You need to grow up. That's when you know it really hit home.
Gotcha.
So I'm sorry to give you guys these. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
What question did you have?
What song did I walk in the building singing last year?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I do kind of remember. It was not Billy Strings, was it?
No.
Okay.
No. Am I in the ballpark?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He's our best hope.
You had so much love and respect for this producer. You was like, I would
if I heard it, I would remember.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He remembers.
We looked it up. We played it.
Yeah.
We played it twice, I think, even.
You did?
See? He's getting
time
closer.
For me to pull the race card. Oh, if I was a white man, you would remember. I don't waste time. I race bait right off the rip.
Because we don't sing.
Exactly. Good. Anyway.
We bitch and complain.
There it is.
Goddamn traffic.
And get things done.
No.
Something's got a hold on me.
It was a lot of soul. Yeah, you had to go.
And I don't know myself anymore. Feels like the walls are all closing in and the devil's knocking at my door. Whoa, out of my mind. How many times did I tell you I'm no good at being alone? It's taking its toll on me. Trying my best to keep from ripping the skin off my bones. Don't you know I lose control? That's the song Diddy was singing in Trial the other
day.
Oh,
gotcha.
There it is.
All
right, Teddy Swims. I said Billy Strings. I feel like I was sort of close.
In the ballpark?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, but right. Maybe it was. I'm not even sure if it was that song, but that's one of the songs I love right now.
You've gotcha. Been pulled into this Diddy thing, haven't you?
Pulled in what kind of way?
Interest.
Into the Diddy trial.
Okay,
Diddy and current allegations, many have accused other celebrities of sexual misconduct.
Oh, no! What are you talking about? I'm not other celebrity.
Nope.
I'm actually Larry. He's not a celebrity. Right. Finish that article because I'm interested.
Okay.
Yeah, what they say.
Or covert homophobic activity because of the
coffee is now everywhere.
Good morning.
It's your morning spit take.
That's coffee on our counter.
Oh, my
nice.
God.
He lost control again.
Better right? To have coffee in counter.
Donnell Rawlings in studio. From the Chappelle Show, from many great comedy specials, and at Stress Factory this weekend. We're linked up at WPLR.com.
No stress right now, though.
Because of their association with him, this has led Donnell Rawlings to provide context for a questionable photo that included him, the Bad Boy founder, Russell Jesus Simmons, Christ. And others.
Let me explain one thing.
Okay.
Just because you're in a photo with Diddy does not mean you're guilty of any inappropriate sexual acts.
All right, hold
or
on.
Anything.
No.
There's nothing saying. What did I do?
I want to check in for baby oil.
No, I don't got no baby oil. I got lotion, son. I got lotion. I don't do baby
oil. He's got a skin condition. He needs it.
No, I'll explain that. Photo.
Okay.
10 years ago.
Yes.
I was on vacation, and I'm snitching right now. I was with Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
And we were in St. Martin, St. Bart.
Nice.
Every Christmas holiday time, Sean Combs, I don't want to call him Diddy because Diddy sounds very inappropriate right now.
Right, yes.
It's not a good name to have when you're accused of sexual misconduct.
Right, you don't
mean diddling.
Yeah, you don't mean D.
Really?
Yeah,
it's like
you don't
Diddy,
have the D word. Yeah.
Diddy? Yes, he did.
Yeah,
did
right.
Diddy? But he does this thing during the holidays. and he invites a lot of family friends out. And we were on vacation, and we went to go visit him on the yacht. Now,
you're on the yacht with Diddy.
First off, I don't want to be interrupted.
Okay.
This is tough testimony.
All right, I'll be over here.
And I know you guys, at the end of the day, you guys, you know,
that was just comedy. It wasn't interrupting. It was more of an underlining.
It's hard.
Hard.
Figuratively, literally, whichever one I pulled.
I shouldn't have said that.
All right. It's hard.
It's a hard thing.
For me to be able to talk about this, yes. So I need support.
Okay, we're supporting.
All right.
So 10 years ago, this picture with Diddy and a lot of prominent people would have been considered iconic. It would have been considered like a power move.
This is, interrupted. Yes. Go ahead. It's like the Mount Rushmore of celebrities.
I'm not going to be able to go through this story.
I'm going to turn.
You don't respect me.
I'm going to turn my mic off right now. This is my mic going off.
Turn the TV off. All right. So 10 years ago, this picture would have been considered iconic. People would have been like, oh, my God, I see you working with Bad Boy. Looks like a lot of things could be going down for you. 10 years ago, it would have been a very, very powerful picture. But 10 years later, according to my 9-year-old son, the picture looks sus because I'm in a picture with Diddy. It wasn't anything inappropriate. I will say that there was a lot of vodka on that yacht, and I consumed most of it. I will say that I don't know what the content.
Are you trying to say you don't remember what happened?
What I'm saying is,
let me turn my mic off.
All right, I consumed a lot of the alcohol, and I was on this yacht, and I don't know what was in the alcohol, but I did feel like I had a full head of hair. I felt like I was the Black Fabio when I was on that jet. But I left. I'm on that yacht.
Black Fabio.
Yes, long hair.
I left that yacht undiddied, and I didn't use any baby oil. And I will say it was a very, 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 very good trip. Now, what happens?
Can you
later,
define good trip?
Okay, I'll define good trip.
Okay.
Everybody there, either their wives was there or their love interest was there with their kids.
Who was Diddy with at the time?
I think he might have been with Cassie at the time, but she wasn't on this trip. This was really like a family trip. Kim Porter was there. All of Diddy's kids were there. Really some really dope people were there with their kids. And I'm not.
Okay, so the kids are there. It's not going to get nutty.
Weird, yeah.
I mean, there are levels to the yacht. You know what I'm saying?
But, that's right.
I was on a promenade deck. I don't know if that's a safe deck. But it was really a very, very good trip. And what was dope for me was seeing, because Dave Chappelle was there, and his kids like pretty much were raised in the country, in the suburbs. And to see Dave's kids with Diddy kids, like going jet skiing and just kicking it. You know, I don't know that side of him or his family, but for what I saw then, the family, the vibe was there. It was just, we had great food, great conversation. It was a good time. But again, I don't know I don't know his life on that side. I don't know about the freak off parties. What I do know is in that event, it was very, very good time.
That was completely not a freak off.
No.
What you were on was not a freak off.
And I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you. I knocked on every door and asked, is this the freak off?
Right, yeah.
And nobody.
Is it this door?
Right. Nobody answered the door.
I'm rich, bitch!
No. It wasn't the freak off. But crazy thing, even about the freak off, right? There is nothing wrong with a freak off. Freak off's been going on forever and ever and ever.
And that's
now, how do you get these people to freak off? I don't know if you're popping pills with these people, whatever. But there is nothing wrong with people being freaky. And certain level. First off, I never knew anybody could out-freak R. Kelly.
Right. Hmm.
Right. And man, Diddy straight up just dumped on that.
Wow.
Diddy looked at an R. Kelly tape and was like, hold my beer, I'll be right back. You know? Yeah. But there's nothing. Now, when you start talking about the exchange of money. We start talking about like drugging people. Whatever.
Drugging people is a horrible thing.
There's no other.
But you're saying that when that picture was taken, of you, yeah, Diddy, uh-huh, and Dave Chappelle on the yacht. There's none of that happened.
No, and to be quite honest, I didn't even know that these freak-offs exist.
All right. Hold on. Let me bring in attorney Norm Pattis. He has some questions for you.
Oh, God.
Norm?
Wait.
Fifth.
Everybody freaks off. It's natural, but you didn't even know they exist. So pick a version of truth and then say hello, say good morning. You didn't know they exist, or everybody does it, and it's as common as riding on a yacht on the way to Jeff.
All right, where do you live?
Hello.
Where do you live?
On Diddy's yacht. Where do you live?
No, I'm asking you a question. Now, I want to be honest.
I'm the one asking questions here. I live in Freakville. Where do you live?
All right.
Do you live?
I live in Los Angeles, California. I spent my time.
Well, then no wonder you think everybody does it and you deny it.
All right.
You're on the boat.
First off, if we're going to have a conversation, you're not a prosecutor.
I'm asking you questions.
All right. Well, I'm not going to ask
you a question.
I plead the fifth.
Oh, so well then just take.
I'm just saying, in your life, in your goddamn life,
everybody,
you live in the woods.
You
freaking trailer parks, bro.
You cut your own throat. Go ahead and bleed out on the air. There's a reason there's a big country between the East Coast and the West Coast.
You can't handle the truth.
We're waiting for you to fall into the ocean so we can be set free from all this I know this is family radio. Bull feces. Listen, I got to go chase real criminals.
Thanks, God.
See you
later. Thank God.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Attorney Norm Pattis.
You know what? I want to be honest.
Okay.
I don't usually travel the night before press.
Right.
Usually, if I sell a ticket, I sell a ticket. And the reason why... because it always give me another day with my son.
Yeah.
When my publicist called me, they was like, they want you back on the show. I was like, who is they? And when they said this, I got excited, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I would do anything for these guys. You know what? I will travel 12 hours. I will drive from the airport an hour. I would get 4 hours of sleep to come on this show. And what I realized that, you know what? I have a song you should play. You should play this song. And ask your producer if you can play this song.
Okay.
Boys to Men, End of the Road.
No.
You
don't bring up with us.
No. You're doing music. Producer.
No.
Producer. Can you pull that song up?
I will pull it up for you.
Okay.
The song, right? Okay.
But to continue my story.
Yes, the song.
Yes.
And I know sometimes you guys are just desperate for guests.
But you're A. You're A.
I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna tell you.
Oh.
And this is for the black people that listen to. This is what the white man does to you. And I gotta get my voice on. My black power voice. Oh, I see what's going on here. It started 10 years ago. And when I tell you, I remember these guys. And this is how far we go back. We all had hairlines at this time. We didn't own baseball caps. And we were happy to see each other. And I remember I first came, we had a moment that went viral before viral was even viral, before the internet. And I said, you know what? The thing I like about this show is that they do good radio. They don't rely on just the music. And on a lot of urban radio stations, they just play music all day. But these guys are interesting enough for people to want to tune in and check in every day to hear what they're talking about with topics. For humor, it's so tough to wake up in the morning. But God damn it, I said, you know, if you're waking up with Chaz and AJ, then you're waking up to a good thing. And as black power as I am, as non-MAG as I am, as BLMM I am, I said I want to be there. But when I come up here, I get ambushed by white people, by white prosecutors, by the white woman who educated to the goddamn door to let me in and offer me coffee with no sugar and no cream. And I asked her, how do you like your coffee? And she said, I like it the same way I like my men, black. I didn't take that any other way. Then when I come up here, I get ambushed. Damn it, I woke up sleeping on a bad mattress. I didn't know how old I was until I came up here. I need a certain mattress to go to sleep. And I get abused. And it's not going to happen again.
Hey, General Manager. I got to play a song.
The
Donnell Rawlings in studio. He's at Stress Factory this weekend. We're linked up at WPLR.com. We're just talking about Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And how he and Muhammad Ali have something in common.
And the point was, like, a lot of people say Dave is the GOAT or one of the GOATs, right?
Yeah.
And people, a lot of times they ask me, what is it about Dave Chappelle? And like I said, Dave Chappelle is funny, but it's up to discussion on who you think the greatest in terms of what they produce as a stand-up.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of things contribute to where he is in people's mind is that everybody in this business doesn't have a Muhammad Ali moment, a moment where something you do stands for your people, integrity, your morals, your beliefs, and you have a chance to lose everything. That moment for Muhammad Ali was when, because of his religious beliefs, he said he didn't want to participate in the Vietnam War. And at the prime of his career, he decided, I'll sit in prison. You know how much millions and millions of dollars he probably lost deciding that? When they was going to give him opportunity to be in the military, he would have never picked up a gun. He would have been a celebrity guy going
right.
around. And
yeah.
He would have never.
That's the last thing they want.
Promo.
Yeah. Celebrity dying in the war.
More exactly. Promo, yeah.
Yeah, so and he turned away from that, lost a lot of money, stood, as they say in the streets now, stood on business. And that situation, Dave Chappelle had his Muhammad Ali moment when he said, I'm not going to do a third season. I don't think this is fair. Yeah. I'm worth more than this. You know, when he turned his back. And like you said, everything was at the top, went down to the bottom, left everything.
Was gone forever.
Gone forever. Like, to come back 10 years later and to get everything he wanted on his term. And that's what, yeah, Dave is funny. Yes, the sketch was funny. Yes, the stand-up. But I think that's what resonated with people more than anything, and that's what made people,
and
in
he
my definition.
And it wasn't like he was walking away from $1 million. He walked away from $50 million, right?
At that time, I wouldn't have walked away from $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm
what was your reaction when you heard, you know, all right, we're going to do a third season, and then Dave's like,
he stole that guy.
Oh, good timing. Guy raised. We wanted you to get that rich bitch queued up.
Wait, we get paid?
No, my reaction was, it's interesting, because when I was working on a show, you know, Charlie Murphy, RIP, at that time, what people don't understand about these shows is that you don't understand what it takes to get to the point to make a lot of money. You know, so many stories like, you got paid $500 a sketch and the show was making so-and-so, but if you bind it to a contract, you bind it to a contract. You don't know what it's going to be, you know, what the show, the popularity of the show. So we weren't making that much money doing the show, but we were popular in the country. And that's when I was like, you know what? We're popular, but we're not getting paid. We got to capitalize on it some kind of way. So I was like, we can do a tour called the I'm Rich Biatch Tour.
Yeah.
Right. Bill Burr was on the tour. Charlie Murphy had never told a joke. I was like, let's get this tour popping. And okay, we're not getting paid a lot of money for Chappelle's show, but every second we're in that show, it's going to sell another ticket in the comedy club. So I never was like, oh, we want more money. I was like, we'll figure out a way to get our money.
Right. So, we'll use this to promote.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What
so
we're doing.
When we were doing this tour, and it was selling out in comedy clubs all across the country, Bill Burr wasn't Bill Burr today. He was definitely a funny comic that you knew that was going to pop. Charlie Murphy didn't have any stand-up experience, you know, and I was super
great
hot.
Storyteller, though.
I was, well, amazing. I was hot as a stand-up then. So while we're doing this tour, now it's like, okay, third season of Chappelle, you guys come off the road. We was like, buh-buh-buh-buh-buh-buh. We was like, oh, man, because they wanted us to commit, so we couldn't book any dates.
Yeah.
So when he first left, we were like, yes,
right.
We could still make our money.
Oh.
But when they told us they was going, they said he was going back home, I didn't know he meant, I thought he went home, he was going like to Maryland just to regroup.
Right. Yeah, yeah, home.
I didn't know
home.
He meant like Africa.
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 Right.
He took that phrase,
the
go back home.
Right. Over to the runway, big time, yeah.
But, that was our that was my experience then. And even when he decided, or we didn't know if he was going to come back, I never was like, oh, man, that's messed up. I was like, I was grateful for that show giving me a platform.
Yeah, you had name recognition, and you used it.
You know, and then I was concerned more.
Did you ever talk to Dave while he was in Africa?
No, he didn't ever talk. The crazy thing was I predicted that he was in Africa, because when I was on that show, I was sort of like a prophet. I was tell Neil Brennan. Dave and him were skeptical about the success of the show because he had so many shows that were green, like pilots that didn't make it. So they was used to Hollywood. Like, okay, it's supposed to blow up. It's not.
Yeah.
And I would predict the ratings every week, and it was started popping. And I remember one time it was an agreement. It was me, Dave, Mos Def. And at the time, Mos Def was living in Africa. And he was trying to sell Africa to everybody. Yo, y'all got to go to Africa. Everybody, I was like, you can't tell all these Brooklyn people to go to Africa. Now Africa's going to turn into Brooklyn. Right? So when he left, I told Neil, I was like, Neil was like, I don't know. Nobody know where he is. I was like, man, he went to Africa. He was like, whatever. Cut to Dave Chappelle spotted in Africa. You know, but even when I saw him sometime after that, I ran into him in a comedy club, and it was like a ghost. I hadn't seen him, so I turned around. I was like, ah! And part of me wanted to smack him and hug him at the same time. Yeah. Right? I'm like, you messed up the bag. But then I was happy to see him.
Yeah.
He looked like he was in good spirits. He looked healthy and everything. And everything that happened after that, it's history. But it's interesting for me because I don't know if people understand how dope it is to be part of what some people consider one of the greatest shows in television history. And people always try to compare what I've done before that and what I've done after it. They even try to hold it against me like, yeah, he was nobody without Dave. Man, a situation, if you got a friend.
Does that bother you when someone says that?
No, but I will say this. I try to defend it with my resume. I try to defend it what I've done after it.
Yeah.
I try to defend it with my skill set. I try to defend it on why I was on that show. Nobody had a signed contract. It wasn't like Chappelle's show. I mean, like Saturday Night Live, you're a cast member. It was a friend saying, and Dave wasn't the guy that got me on the show. It was Neil Brennan. It's somebody saying, get in the game. Now, if you score, if you hit a three-pointer or a home run, guess what?
You get
what?
To play
you
some more.
You get to play again.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If not,
yeah,
you're off the
it
team.
Wasn't
yeah.
What people don't understand, and I'm not going to crash out right now, but it's a good platform to say it. When people don't understand, it's like, I earned every second I was on that show. Every time they've said get in the game, I scored.
Yeah.
Yes, he did give me the opportunity, but coaches put players in the game all the time. Does that help you get a victory? Not. So as much as Dave and Neil gave me the platform, I represent it. And as successful as that show was, no matter what anybody says, there was a lot of people that made that show great. It was Charlie Murphy that was part of making that shit great. It was Michelle Armour, executive producer, that was part of making that show great. It was Brian Tucker, who's a writer with SNL. It was Neil Brennan. It was the team that he assembled.
So yeah, it's an all-star cast.
Yes,
yeah.
You can say Michael Jordan won all the championships you want, but how many people, when you hear that, what do people say? Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, now it says Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley.
So, and even before Chappelle's show, I was on The Wire. I was on HBO's The Corner. I was doing things that my class, nobody was doing. Nobody even knew I was a comedian or a comedic actor until Chappelle's show. They thought I was a serious actor.
Yeah.
So I was stacking my resume up before the show, and I continue to stack my resume up after the show. I can't recreate history. I was a part of history. I would go crazy if every time I go to an audition or every project, I'm like, this is going to be better than Chappelle's show. That part of history is done. I was a part of it, and I've maintained consistency.
You know, anyone who says that, you know, anyone who says that hasn't had the success you have.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't brag about it. Like, people say, Donna, what is going to be your legacy? Years ago, Entertainment Weekly or whatever, they had an article, and it said the top 100 shows in television history. Guess who's on that show? HBO's The Wire. Chappelle's show. Guess who was on both of those shows? I was.
Yep.
Right.
At the same time. So if anything ever happened, I don't care about being another film. I don't care about being on another television show. The only thing I care about is me being able to be one of the best stand-up comics to do it. I can put my name on a marquee. I can make an honest living. And people come out and they want to see me tell jokes. And in the words of my friend...
Is that Stress Factory time?
Yes.
Tomorrow night,
in the words of my good friend Dave Chappelle, as comedians, it is our job to make fun of the things that are troubling the world. And again, I got a house in Ohio. I could go out there and watch deer all day. I don't care about... And action. That part, I've already had fame.
Yeah.
I've already experienced what fame can get you, and I've already experienced what fame can do to your mental. All I want to do is make people laugh, have a good time, and that's it.
Donnell Rawlings is here. And what happened on Kill Tony?
Well, first off, the Kill Tony fans are evil.
Okay.
They use words like cringed, unbearable, give me 10 seconds of my life back.
Oh.
And years ago, I don't like doing those roast shows because I will take things too personal and it'll get crazy.
Yeah.
First time I ever did an appearance on Kill Tony, I just popped in. And at the time, David Lucas was what their reigning champ were roasting and everything. And everybody's like, David's going to destroy Donnell. I went on a show. I murdered David Lucas.
Nice.
The first time in Kill Tony history that someone got a standing ovation. People still didn't give me credit. Like, well, you didn't let him talk. If I'm fighting somebody in a real physical fight,
you don't let them throw punches.
I'm like, just okay. You want to get a chance to punch back?
Here, punch me. No.
Your turn.
When I lock in, I'm going to lock in.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic, Kill Tony had moved his show to Austin, and he was having a hard time getting guests because people come to do Rogan's show, and it was like pandemic, COVID. I'm leaving the next day. So you see all the guys that go to them. Nobody was doing it, and me and Tony are really good friends. And he was like, yo, D, can you please stay? I need a guest or whatever. I don't have a guest. I was like, you know how I am. But he was like, I'm telling you, it won't be like that or whatever, right? This is so long ago that this is when black people used to be on his show, okay?
Right.
I put it like that. So I went to do the show. I'm on there for like 2 hours. I'm drinking some Tito's, whatever. I'm getting a little lit. How else are you going to celebrate? And this comedian, another comedian, a black guy, I forget his name. That's how long ago it was. I was giving him advice on that show, right? I wasn't trying to be critical of him. I was giving him advice, and I guess he knew I was going to show, and then he just started attacking me, trying to roast me.
Oh.
And I took offense to it. I was like, come on, bro.
Do you think he was coached by the producers?
1,000%.
Oh, yeah. But,
I mean, they know who's going to be on the show, and then they sit back and they write jokes for that. I didn't like that. I'm critical of comics, whatever, and I was giving him some constructive criticism, not trying to be insulting.
Yeah.
And then—
You know how the show works, AJ?
I've heard of it, yes.
But do you know how it works? There's a panel of real comedians.
Right.
And then they bring up audience members who want to be comedians.
Yes.
And you get like 60 seconds.
Right.
And you have
audition.
Yeah. And then the panel will comment. It's almost like an American Idol kind of thing.
Same thing.
So that day I was in Austin, and this is what people say, well, he's just making up lies, whatever. That day I was already sitting on that panel for like 2 hours. I had a dinner date, right? I had a date at this sushi spot. And it wasn't one of those sushi spots like sushi stop. It was one of those spots where the reservation is like, it takes a year to get.
Wow.
Like 6 people in there.
Yeah, hard to
you know
get
what
in
I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you can't get in. And people in the comments like,
this sounds a little like an excuse.
I know. And that's the thing
this
about it.
This is where you're going to get roasted by people.
And I don't have
a problem. I had a dinner date.
No. And I don't. And I do understand how it could sound like it's a lie, but this is only my truth. You could take it for whatever you want.
Yeah, no, right? I'm saying this is where the criticism is.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And this is already after I had been on the show for like 2 hours, and I told Tony I'm not going to stay around forever.
Go.
So I was like, psh, I pulled a Irish goodbye. What they did was they doctored a video. If you watch the entire show, that interaction didn't happen.
But the clip, you getting up and leaving after an insult?
Right after an insult. If you look at it, and I could care less how people feel.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, it didn't happen that way. But
to their credit, people are still talking about it today.
But
it's not good for you.
No.
But
it's okay for me because I know it's unfortunate, but we're living in a clickbait
situation.
That's right.
That's
true.
Yeah, that's
even if you like this, oh, he was horrible on Kid Tony. One thing people can't deny is how I am as a stand-up. And people will come to your show to try to hate. I've seen, it's a look on their face, Kill Tony fans.
Yeah.
And I've seen them have reservations, and I've seen me myself flip it.
So what really happened? So you had this exchange with a comedian, and then 2 hours later,
No,
in 2 hours, you were like, I got to go.
No, I was like, no, 2 hours later, yeah, I said, I got to go.
Yeah.
And I left. And then, like, Tony and them, they don't care. They was like, Donnell, you're lying. We had someone follow you, and they saw you go to the fire department. You didn't have a sushi date. But the thing is, these fans, they so
these
gullible.
These are your friends,
they
right?
They love that show so much, and I don't knock it. The fact that Kill Tony has created a platform for comics that you don't know about to see get the exposure.
Like a showcase, yeah.
It's dope. But I'm not a cornball. I don't have a problem with dealing with the criticism. But when you start questioning who I am as a stand-up, I will defend that every time.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And as much as you want to be like, oh, he's not funny, so and so, you take the top, your top favorite comics in the country, and you ask them about me, I guarantee you what they're going to say. The dude is funny. Everybody always screams, who's your funniest comic? You know, Dave Chappelle. And if you ask Dave Chappelle, guess what Dave Chappelle is going to say? Donnell Rawlings. And this isn't just because we're friends.
Yeah.
This is because years and years and years and years and years of always trying to get better, always trying to evolve as a comic. When we did the pandemic shows.
Hold on. I want to stay on this Kill Tony thing. Do you have the audio on that, Phil? You probably have to beep tone it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a lot of language. I don't think we can play right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We probably won't be able to get to
There's a lot of Tito's in there.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't even you. It was everybody else.
Everybody. It's all those guys.
Yeah. But, what was the last thing I'm saying?
Well, the Kill Tony. Phil, who did Nick DiPaolo came in here. He was really pissed because someone was up. One of his friends did Last Comic Standing.
Yes.
And they made him look like an idiot.
Well, Joe Matarese.
Joe Matarese.
They did like a zoom in on his hand, like shaking.
Yep.
And he was like, that was his after. He was like, I was all jacked up from like being out on stage and like you're on camera doing comedy. He's like, it's exciting. He's like, they tell you to wait. And he's like, you could see I'm excited, but they zoomed in so tight. They made it look like I was nervous. Yeah. And like, I didn't know what to do.
But I do understand
what you have to do to make things interesting. You know, when you have all these shows, it's a lot of times what really makes these shows, it's not just the star of the show, it's the producers. The producers know how to put it together where you're going to click on and you want to, we're living in a world right now is that people could love you or hate you. It's all about the engagement. I never was upset with Kill Tony about that. But, you know, and I stopped being mad at the fans because I'm like, his fans, I'm like, they're going to be who they're going to be. But at the end of the day, you're still screaming my name. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to pull up in your algorithms.
When I put Donnell Rawlings, Kill Tony,
uh-huh.
It is a million links.
Yeah. Wow. Reactions. I mean, yeah.
Reactions. And this, I was ranked, they said, and it was like this, the 10 worst moments in Kill Tony history. Right? It was like, what's that Flair guy, the wrestler name?
Yeah.
It was Arrest of Flair.
Rick Flair
was like, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to make this list. I mean, after Rick Flair. And then it said, at number one. The most epic Kill Tony moment was when Donnell Rawlings walked off.
That's freaking awesome.
Yep. But I'll tell people this. If you are a fan of mine from HBO's The Wire, Chappelle Show, Spider-Man, the new series BMF, Guy Code, Guy Court, whatever. I've done a lot of things. And if you haven't seen me do live stand-up, come to my show and I guarantee you, you will become a lifetime fan. And it's not me being a brag or whatever, but I really know what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing. It's over 30 years of experience. So I don't want you to judge me as any appearance on any TV show.
Right.
Because no, it's funny. Isn't it funny?
Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny. A million people have been on Kill Tony.
Yeah.
Who's most remembered?
Right.
You
and they don't want to talk about that first episode when I just annihilated David Lucas. And everybody was like, David Lucas. But I had a different strategy.
Yeah, people forget that.
On those platforms.
But we got to roll.
They play. Okay. All right.
But Donnell, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
thanks for
you're always welcome.
Everything. Yeah. Always.
Thanks for coming in.
I didn't have to say it.
Ringtone.